The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I really pray that you will take these messages to heart and realize that God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to know who you are in Christ, to have peace and to have joy at all times. And we have to stop thinking, well, that's impossible.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Hi, and welcome to Everyday Answers. You know, a common question that we get from many of you is how to enjoy life. It's what everybody wants. It sounds simple, but it isn't always that obvious. Check this out from Twitter. Promise, beautiful name from Australia, says, Joyce, if you could give me one piece of advice that made your life joyful and gave you the fulfillment, what would it be? Besides God, because that's a no-brainer. I love the way she says that. Well, Promise, for you and everyone else who has asked about this, Joyce regularly shares that our joy should not be based on our circumstances, and that's a real key component to enjoying life. But there's a major step we must all take toward this goal that she talks about today as she answers this question, can you help me enjoy life?
Today we're going to talk about joy and enjoyment. I think sometimes we talk a lot about joy, but maybe not enough about enjoyment. We're talking about learning how to live deeper, not just being a shallow, surfacey believer who's just all concerned about what they want, what they think, and what they feel, who seeks God only for what He can do for them, but never just for who He is. And the Bible says in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and the drink that one desires. And believe me, it's about a lot more than just food and drink. There's a whole principle there that the kingdom of God is not just me trying to get everything I want, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I came to the point in my life where although I had no real reason to be unhappy, I still found that I was unhappy. And God taught me that I was a shallow Christian. I didn't have any depth. And you know, depth takes time. I want you to always remember that. Depth is not something that you get quickly. It takes time. We talk about roots, and the Bible says that we must bear roots downward and fruit upward. So every tree that's heavily laden with fruit, if the branches are yea so long, then the roots go down just that deep into the ground. And I might add that those roots have to be established before you ever see any fruit. Well, we get it upside down. We want to do showy things. We want to be in charge of something. We want to be on the platform. We want more money. We want bigger houses. We want all these different things. We want, we want, we want. We want what we want. And yet, if we have no roots, if we're not rooted and grounded in Christ and rooted and grounded in His love, if we don't know Him instead of just knowing what He can do for us, then we're just going to be a mess. You know, I really cringe when some young person in the church or in the world, without having any time to mature or grow up, suddenly is shot into a place of stardom, because it is one of the most dangerous things that we do to people, because they absolutely do not have the foundation in their life yet of how to handle themselves, how to resist temptation, how to go through hard things. Now, I'm not saying that none of that is ever successful, but we all hear horror stories all the time of people who started out representing God, and before long, they're giving in to all the same pressures that an unbeliever would, and it's simply because they got promoted too fast. The Bible teaches us not to put a new convert in a place of leadership, and listen to what the Amplified says, lest they become stupefied with pride. Have any of you seen any stupefied Christians anywhere? And so God took a long time in my life, and I will admit a lot longer than I wanted him to build a foundation in my life and to get me rooted and grounded in some things. Not that I had arrived when things began to grow and I was in front of more people, but I did have a pretty solid foundation. And one of the things that God had taken a long time to teach me was that I could do nothing apart from him. And that any good thing, I remember still where I was sitting, the room I was sitting in, sitting on the edge of my bed, and God spoke this to me right before our ministry started to really grow. It was right before we went on television. And this was what came to my heart. You must always remember that any good thing that happens through you only means that I have wrestled with you long enough to get a little other cubic inch of your flesh that I can show my glory through. So be sure you don't take the credit. Because let me tell you something, it can take years and years and years to elevate something, but it can come down overnight. Amen? Well, you ought to clap and give God praise. So I want you to think today about your foundation. When you have a strong foundation, you can stay stable in storms. The Bible talks about Christians that don't do well in storms, and it says that they grew up real quick, but they have no roots. Now, you know, Dave and I have been involved in building two homes in our lifetime, and we would go every day and look at progress, starting from when they dug the hole in the ground. But you know, we never invited anybody to come over and view the basement. What's my point? There's nothing exciting about foundations. There's nothing exciting about digging. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but most of the really precious stuff, precious metals, precious jewels, God has hidden them all in mountains and hills and in deep places where you've got to dig to get them. And I can tell you that it's going to take a little bit of drilling. Come on now. It's going to take a little bit of drilling for God to get down to where he wants to be in our lives. Because sometimes when he's trying to get us rooted in him, he hits rock. And there has to be a little blasting. You know, we're all diamonds in the rough, but diamonds have to be polished and polished and polished and polished and polished. We've all got potential. God's got something for every one of us to do, but to be very honest, without that strong foundation and without being deeply rooted in Christ, I don't know if you were here yesterday morning when I read that scripture out of Ephesians 3, starting in 16 all the way through 20. And you know, we're very familiar with verse 20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ever dare to hope, ask, or think. You never quote that scripture that the crowd doesn't cheer because we love that. But it starts in verse 16 talking about how we need to pray to be strengthened with all might and power in the inner man through the Holy Ghost indwelling our innermost being and personality. Then it goes on to talk about the importance of being rooted and grounded in the love of God, to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love that God has for us. And then it goes on to say that you might know and experience that love for yourself. Much better than mere knowledge, we need to experience these things. And then verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. I never, in all my years of teaching, ever noticed or paid that much attention to the now. And that's powerful because it's really saying all that good stuff is not going to come until we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, and we know that he is more important to us than anything, that nothing and nobody can take his place, and that he is much more important than anything that he ever gives us. There's two tests that you have to pass concerning money and things. How you act when you don't have any, and how you act when you got a lot. And they're both pretty good sized tests. Amen? So we're still talking about living a deeper life, going deeper in God, being willing to get rooted and grounded in him. So we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures, Colossians 2:7. Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him. How many in hims can you have in one sentence? Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. You know, I think when we really know who we are in him and we learn to appreciate, I mean really appreciate what God has done for us, we stop a lot of the murmuring and complaining about all the stuff we don't have, that we wish we had, that we don't have, that everybody else has, that we want so bad we're pretty sure we can't be happy without it. And if that's the case, then our joy is not in him. We are called to enjoy God, not to be afraid of God, but to enjoy God. He is life. Apart from him, there is no life. So how can I enjoy my life if I'm not going to enjoy God? I think a lot of people have this sneaky little vague fear that God is not pleased with them and he's just a little bit miffed or ticked off or mad because we're not exactly quite what we ought to be. And when that's the case, we cannot enjoy God. We need to know how much he loves us, how merciful he is, and be rooted and grounded in him and in his love. Now in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says we are to set our mind and keep it set on things that are above. If then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind and keep it set on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It's time for us to live on purpose instead of waiting to feel like doing what's right. We need to learn to live on purpose. We set our mind and we keep it set on what we believe that God's goal is for us. And the Bible says that his goal is not that we focus on things and everything we want and everything we need, not promotion, not success, not money, not being on the platform at church, not getting married, not, you know, none of that. What we need to do is focus on knowing who we are in Christ and having peace and joy inside of us. The inner life is so much more important than what's going on around us. Does anybody know that? It doesn't matter what you have if you go to bed at night and you're miserable. You know, I remember, and I mean, this is like really top level misery. I mean, I remember going to bed at night and being so miserable that I wished it was time to get up. And then when I got up, I was so miserable that I wished it was time to go to bed. And that's a pretty good-sized case of misery. Maybe you've never had it that bad, but and it wasn't because of my circumstances. It really wasn't. It was because I wasn't right in here. So I was a child of God. I was on my way to heaven, and I was legally a citizen of the kingdom of God, but I was not living in the kingdom. I went to church, but I did not know who I was in Christ. I spent more time guilty and condemned than I did any other thing. I did not like myself. I did not have a good relationship with myself. I did not have peace, and I did not have joy. And I'm here to tell you and anybody else that wants to listen that I don't care what you have. If you don't have righteousness, peace, and joy, then you're not living in the kingdom. And I'm not talking about having it once in a while. I'm talking about living it. I'm talking about even when you really mess up, still being able to say, God, I am sorry that I did that. I am grateful for your forgiveness. I want you to help me grow, but I will not waste my time and ruin this day wallowing around in guilt and condemnation because that is not your will for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm not suggesting in any way that we have a sloppy attitude towards sin, but I can tell you this, when you know how much God loves you and what he's done for you, it is going to motivate you to sin less than you ever have in your whole life. So peace can't be based on my circumstances. So I need to set my mind every day. I don't know what's going to happen in my life today. I hope it all goes my way, but it's more than likely not going to. Because that just, you know, it's just not real life, not for very long. But you know what? I'm still going to have a great day. You know why I know I'm going to have a great day? Because I've already decided I'm going to have a great day. Because my having a good day and being peaceful and enjoying this day is not based on what happens to me in a few moments of time. It's based on knowing what's on the other side of every storm. Spring always comes after winter. Always. You never have winter and then winter and then winter and then winter. Some of you think, well, I do. Well, we need to say, I'm going to be peaceful today on purpose. The devil sets us up to get upset. He knows what bothers us, and he makes sure we run right into it, and God doesn't keep us from it because he has a higher goal, and that is he doesn't want to remove every obstacle. He wants us to squarely face them like the eagle and say, I am not going to run away from this. I'm going to let God use it in my life to make me a better person. Set my mind. Today, I'm going to have peace. That means if somebody says something to me that I don't like, I'm going to forgive as quick as I possibly can because I don't want to lose my peace. And I'm going to believe the best. Instead of thinking they're trying to hurt me on purpose, I'm going to believe the best because even if they did have a mean motive, I can stay happy if I believe the best. And my goal is for me to be happy. Amen? Now, if you want to really enjoy your life, then you have to determine every day, this is the day the Lord has made. I will. Come on, we quote that scripture so much, but what does it really mean? It means I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, this is a day that God has given me. It is a gift, a precious gift from him. I get one more day to be alive on this planet. I don't know what's coming tomorrow, so I'm sure not going to spend what might be my last day here miserable, sour, sad, and depressed. And I'm so grateful for all the people in your homes and different places watching by television. And I really pray that you will take these messages to heart and realize that God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to know who you are in Christ, to have peace and to have joy at all times. And we have to stop thinking, well, that's impossible. It's not impossible. As long as we know that those things that God gives us don't have to be affected by the circumstances and the people around us. And I know it's a tall order and it takes a long time to get there, but I'll tell you, that's where I'm headed, and I may not arrive until Jesus comes, but he's going to find me pressing on. These next four verses are probably some of the most powerful scriptures in the Word. Verse 5, Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. That means that you care more about what people say and keeping them happy, and we're running to people instead of putting God first and his will and running to him. He'll be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but he shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Doesn't sound like very pleasant, does it? Yuck. Most blessed, he's not even just blessed, he is most blessed, is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its what? By the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green, and it shall not be anxious and full of care, even in a whole year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. That's my goal. That's my goal. I tell you what, I got so tired of being a yo-yo Christian, up when my circumstances were up and down when they were down, up when they were up and down when they were down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I was worn out at the end of every day just from the ups and the downs. Are you tracking with me today? Do you know what I'm talking about? When we put our trust in God, really put our trust in Him. So what does that mean? So if I put my trust in God and yet I have this storm that wasn't in the forecast, whether it's a short one or a long one, a big one or a little one, I wasn't looking for it, I'm not happy about it. But if my trust is in God, the first thing that I can think in a situation like that, it's not, oh no, not again. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of this, nothing good in me. The first thing that we can think is something good is gonna come out of this. Do you realize this is one of the greatest secrets of the Christian life? That right in the midst of all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I've thought about that a lot. I mean, you're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And so I've kind of got my own idea of what I think that means. So I'll give it to you. You can use it if you want to. I think to be more than a conqueror means that I've already got the victory before I ever get the problem. So it becomes a lifestyle. I'm not afraid of bad news. I'm not afraid of trouble. I'm not afraid of grouchy people. I mean, it's not my favorite thing, but I'm not gonna let it ruin my life. I'm not gonna let it affect who I am and how I treat people. I'm not gonna let it steal my peace, and I'm not gonna let it steal my joy. Now, do I ever fall off of that goal and get into those bad emotions anyway? Yes, I certainly do. But I'll tell you what, I don't do it nearly as often as I used to, and when I do, it doesn't take me nearly as long to get out of it. So I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And you know something that will help you increase your joy? Start celebrating your progress instead of getting depressed over how far you still have to go. I mean, celebrate your progress. If you've come anywhere in your walk with God, then start celebrating. If you were born again last night and you've got the hugest mess in your life that you just can't believe what a mess you've got, celebrate, because now you've got hope living on the inside of you. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Paul was in prison when he wrote that, by the way. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Be not sad and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm telling you what, joy, which joy is not extreme hilarity all the time. It can be that, but the definition goes all the way from extreme hilarity to a calm delight. And I would say most of the time I live in that calm delight. Amen? You know, when I say be joyful, that doesn't mean you gotta be, you know. To be honest, sometimes those people get on my nerves. You know, because life is real and there's things to deal with, and you know, obviously you can't giggle your way through every day, but you can have a calm delight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Well, like Joy said earlier today, God wants you to enjoy your life, to know who you are in Christ, how much you're loved, to have peace and joy, at all times, and it's not about your circumstances. So stay right where you are, because I have some great stories that I'm going to share with you from social media, maybe your story, that will help you to do that even more. And we want to tell you about a teaching from Joyce that is going to really help that joy in your life to overflow. It's called The Gift of Everyday Joy. There are 4 hours of Joyce's teaching on here. It's right out of God's Word, and it helps you dig in even more into how that joy comes from the Holy Spirit in your life, how to access it, how to stir it up when you need it, and how to, no matter what the circumstances are, what's going on around you, to know that God is not leaving you. He's still right there, and there is something to look forward to and to take joy in all the time. Part of the process of enjoying your life is forgiveness. We all have to forgive different people at different times. So we asked you to share your story on social media, and here's what some of you sent to us. This is from Rico. He says, I hated my stepdad to the core. I plotted against him. I had every right to hate him, just like God had every right to hate me, but didn't. Long story short, Joyce's teachings taught me how to forgive him. Now we're cool. I'm in a seat this minute next to him, slapping hands because he cracks the best jokes ever. This has got to be Jesus. It's great to hear those stories that you know is only God. And Angela says, a lot of different people have hurt me in my past, but Jesus showed me that I have to pray for them and bless them. I feel so much happier today that I have forgiven all those people. We have a great and an awesome God. Well, Angela, we certainly do, and He can help you forgive. That's one of those steps in enjoying your life. He can help you understand how much He loves you. That's another one of those steps. So many different things. You may have heard Joyce share her story about God offering to help her with her bowling. How simple is that? But He taught her that He cares about her, and He cares about everything. So share with us what activity God is helping you with that you didn't think He cared about. It's all part of having a great time in life and realizing that you're not alone in it, no matter what it is. So let us know on Facebook. These should be some fun posts. And next week on Everyday Answers.
So what are you going to do? Just spend your whole life telling everybody how life threw you under the bus? I mean, would you rather have that pity than to have power?
Of course, if you have a question, if you have a comment, whatever you want to say to us, let us know on Twitter. Use hashtag AskJoyce with your questions. Anything else that you want to say about the show, use hashtag EA for Everyday Answers. And today, just go kind of nuts. Remember to laugh, have fun. Make sure that you're enjoying your relationship with God, because that is the key to enjoying your life. He's more than just some big entity in the sky. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you, and He wants to be part of every aspect of your life. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.